Well, as we've just told you, Goldman Sachs has pledged not to take advantage of that new Supreme Court ruling, and Citizens United will not spend any of its corporate reserves on political advertising. The path was wide open for them to do so, and they've said, no thanks, we're not doing it. Louise Story, finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, the New York Times, is here. So, Louise, does that mean Goldman is saying, gee, we think that's a terrible idea, we're not going to do that?
Well, what they're saying is that they'll continue on in their old ways. They will not expand their use of money for influencing politics. But don't take this the wrong way. Goldman, of course, has been influential in the past because its individual workers, you know, make very big bonuses and they can donate a lot of money. Plus, it's a very politically connected company. You know, the joke is sometimes government Sachs, Goldman Sachs, government Sachs, because so many of its executives and traders go on to work in the government.
Moving to the Treasury Department, et cetera.
Right. But what they said, didn't get a lot of attention, but last week they stuck a line on their website that said, we will not be spending money on electioneering communications. In political jargon, that's advertisements. And, you know, some companies already have started doing this because of that Supreme Court decision, which allowed them. Target started doing it. But it has the potential, if a company really poured a lot of money into it, that they really could shift public opinion on an issue. In fact, the potential is so strong that you probably remember President Obama came out saying he didn't think it was a good decision, which was very rare for a president to criticize a Supreme Court ruling.
In the long run, what is this about in terms of Goldman Sachs? Is this really because they don't want to influence a political race? Oh, I can't stop smiling when I ask that question.
Well, you know, Goldman also has a reputation issue. And already, even before this, people had this feeling that they are too influential, too powerful in Washington. So they're kind of trying to take every step they can to say, we're not doing anything untoward. We're not going to do more.
So this is image more than anything
else.
There is
image.
Earnings season, right? They want a story that's not about...
Well, right. It's, you know, it's image.
They want some good press.
It's for their image. But, you know, the other thing is maybe they already have enough influence. Maybe they don't need more. Maybe it's not a good use of their shareholder money to spend on commercials because they're already so very influential. They don't need TV commercials.
Well, none of it makes sense to me half the time. But speaking of which, Fannie Mae stock. Wow. What were those numbers you said, John? Plummeted from...
Their stock used to be in the mid-80s, and now it's down to 40 cents.
40 cents.
Penny stock.
Pennies. What does that mean, and is it going to change?
Well, you know, it was back $85 before the housing market blew up, because this is, you know, the company that helps finance the whole housing market, huge company. The government took them over. We now own 80% of Fannie as well as its brother Freddie. And you would think these companies are worthless because they owe hundreds of billions of dollars to the government. And that's why they're trading in the pennies. But the thing that's interesting about them is they are trading. The volume of trading is huge. It's more than trading in shares of, you know, big banks that are more notable. And the reason people are trading in and out of this is because there is a possibility that they'll go back private, they'll have some assets, and unlike most companies, which depend on their earnings for their future, this just depends on the whim of the government. It's going to depend on what lawmakers do in legislation in the next couple years with Fannie and Freddie, and no one really knows.
And a 40-cent stock with a company that has such huge implications for the economy, it's easy to attract speculators to trade on that. It bumps up, it bumps down, there's a lot of money to be made.
Of course, and you know, if it goes up just a dollar... That is a huge percentage gain on your investment.
There you go. All right. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.